Bibles to the book of Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 6. As I told y'all, I do not read ahead. I know that the fourth seal is going to be broken next week as we study. I had a church member stop me in the hall and was giving me some insight on the fourth seal, and I haven't gotten there yet. I try not to, because I try and stay focused on where I'm at. It's getting worse. What we're seeing take place is getting worse. And I hope that the past couple of weeks y'all paid close attention. And I hope you continue to pay attention as we go through these seal judgments, the trumpet judgments, and the bowl judgments. Because it's progressively going to get worse and worse and worse. And I hope that us going through this study will help you to activate the alarm that's inside of you. I said that last week. Just as you are being conditioned by this world to accept what is taking place, and we're going to see that tonight. I hope tonight is eye-opening, because as I studied this past week and I sat in my office and I got done, Mr. White came by and he and I got to talking about how we are being conditioned to accept what is taking place. It's mind-blowing. Church, it is mind-blowing how our society is conditioning us to accept this as normal. And it's not. It's not normal at all. But what's even scarier is, as we see the atrocities increase as we get in our study, you'll see that every single one of them, we as a nation and a world are being conditioned to accept every single one of them as normal. And it's not. It's not at all. And it's amazing. I hope some of you older church members will see that there are some things that have taken place in a short period of time that y'all used to do that we're no longer doing, and it's pushing us closer to this time. We're becoming conditioned more and more at a faster rate of speed. It's mind-blowing. It really is. In our last study, we once again heard John summoned to step forward and to see what was taking place. We saw the second horseman riding a fiery red horse descending towards the earth, whose name we did not know. One scripture told us that the horseman was given the power to take peace from the earth, that people would slaughter each other. We also learned that he was given a sword, meaning that the horseman was given authority to do what he was going to do. He would not be stopped. Not even prayer and fasting was going to keep these events from taking place, because these devastating events were not just the rider's true will, but they were the will of God. What we're now seeing is the vengeance of God on a rebellious people who refused to accept the love that He gave through the death of His Son. Church, we are seeing unbridled vengeance. Tonight, we're going to see what John saw when the third seal was opened. So let's look at Revelation chapter 6 and verse 5. Revelation chapter 6, verse 5. When he opened the seal, I heard the third living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and there was a black horse. The horseman on it had a balanced scale in his hand. Then I heard something like a voice among the four living creatures say, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius. But do not harm the olive oil, and the wine." Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight. Lord, I have a heavy heart, because I know what's getting ready to take place. And God, I pray that you would help us to understand the severity of what's taking place in this scripture, what's shortly going to happen. God, open our eyes in the short period of time that we have tonight to study your word. Help us to be ready, and help us to help others be ready, for this day is shortly coming. In Jesus' name I do pray. And all God's children said, amen. Tonight, as we continue to open the seals and see the devastation growing in intensity, please keep questioning in your mind, are we as a world moving towards the time when these events will most definitely take place and be most catastrophic? We as a nation and a world are being groomed, conditioned to accept all of these as normal. Brother Kyle, that's the third time you've said that just tonight. I want you to get it. I want you to understand. Just as on Wednesday night, I'll ask you at least two or three times every quarter how many books are in the Bible. I'll go through that whole question. Why do I do that? I want you to get it. I want you to understand the simplicities of the Bible. It'll help you in your knowledge. I want to keep asking that question and pointing out that it's not normal that we're being conditioned, because we're being conditioned, and it's not normal. We've got to, church, be ready. We've got to be ready. So again, as we did last week, the first thing I want you to do is see the escalation of the destruction. There is an escalation. When the first seal was broken, we saw the Antichrist step foot on earth with a power that was given to conquer with diplomacy. We will be with the Savior after the devastation of the rapture, at least in the eyes of those that remain. But the diplomacy and the peace will not last. It's not going to last. When we see the second unknown rider step foot on the earth, he will have brought death through slaughter. Not just normal death, but just utter slaughter. Wars will take place at the drop of a hat with no real reason. People in every nation will have short fuses and murder each other for little to no reason. Those who remain will justify murder as their protective right in their own eyes. Tonight, we will see an even greater devastation. Now, I hope at some point you kind of step back, you remove yourself from everything that's taking place in the Scripture around you, and ask yourself, how much worse can it get? Is it going to get, how much worse can it truly get? Well, can you in your wildest imagination imagine a time when hundreds of thousands of people have disappeared? Graves have left open with no remains to be found. War has erupted all over the world. People are killing each other. They're killing each other so often that it's no longer even making the news. And then after months have passed, the world's food supply is drying up, and the greatest famine in the world has ever seen hits as the black horse steps foot on the earth. Can you imagine? Does anybody want to sign up for that? It kills me now. And it's not that my wife doesn't do it. I just enjoy doing it. I do the grocery shopping. I enjoy doing it. I've seen grocery prices, just me myself, in the last 15 years, or 22 years since our children have been born, just go out the roof. And y'all saw what happened to me when milk went over $4 a gallon. I was like, come on, give me a break. Because at that point in time, we were going through a gallon of milk about every other day. I think there's redemptive qualities in drinking a glass of chocolate milk every morning. I do. People ask me, what's your favorite thing to drink? Chocolate milk. Love it. But we're talking about a different time here. We're talking about a time where there's an unbelievable famine taking place. The things that you crave, there's no use, no need in craving it. It's going to be, you won't be able to find it. Now think with me. Think with me here. I'm not talking about a famine where two people are fighting over the last chicken breast at the buffet at the Golden Corral. We're not talking about that. I'm talking about people trying to feed their families when there's no food to be found. And those who still have food are trying to keep what food they have to feed themselves. Can you imagine cooking your last handful of rice over an open fire, and the smell drifts through the air, and your neighbor who has not eaten in 2 days smells your food? Can you imagine this? Now please, don't forget the rider of the fiery red horse last week who had brought slaughter has already arrived and tempers are already short. What in the world do you think is going to happen? Maggie, you and Trey, y'all saved up. Now y'all look at these people, these doomsday people on TV, and you think, these people are nuts. Hey, please hear me. If you're not a Christian, Sunday night people generally are. If you've never accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you better start saving dry goods. If you don't want to accept my Jesus, you better start saving dry goods and water. And you better have matches. Because you're going to have to boil what water you can find. And if you can't, if you're going to plan on, well, I'll just go over to Mark Wilkins Pond, I'll get my water there, you're going to get shot for stealing somebody's water. Okay? I promise you that. So where are you going to get your water from? Where are you going to get your, well, I'll just turn my spigot on. Oh, no, don't count on that. Listen, you better be ready. You absolutely better be ready. Those of you who are saved, we ain't got to worry about it. We're going to be in heaven eating manna. Amen? I hate it. This really concerns me because I've got family, friends, loved ones, and I've got neighbors in my neighborhood right now. They're going to be living through this. They really are. They better start stocking up. They better be ready. Tempers are going to be flaring. And when that food, you smell that food in the air, and that neighbor who hasn't eaten in 2 or 3 days comes and says, hey, you know, can I have some food? And you're guarding your family, and you're trying to feed yourself and your family. The Red Riders already stepped foot on the earth. Hey, listen, what are you going to do? What's going to happen when somebody tries to take your food? Somebody's going to die over a handful of rice. I don't want to be here for that. I really don't. The second thing I want you to see is this. What is it that John saw? What did John see? Well, at the very beginning, we saw that once again, John was summoned to step forward to see as the third seal was broken. And yet another rider on a horse, this time a black horse, was heading towards the earth. Remember all of what John was seeing was fresh and new to him. What must have been running through his mind as he saw yet another horse with a nameless rider heading towards the earth? How would you be feeling after seeing what took place after the first two seals were broken? Again, step back. Put yourself in his position. Now, this is where I was. Everybody in here has seen the Passion of Christ, right? Y'all have seen it, right? Many of y'all have seen it. I've seen it many times. There's a place in the movie that gets me every single time. When Jesus has been arrested and they take him out to the open courtyard and they've got him around what looks to be like a big, it's a whipping post is what it is. It's a big log about like this. And it's, you know, big and round, and there's shackles on the post. And they put Jesus's, they shackle him to the post. So he's kind of in a bent position like this, and they're beating him with all kinds of implements. And I'm thinking to myself, you know, this is why it's rated R. They're just beating him to a pulp. And just when you think it cannot get any worse, do y'all remember the guard unshackles one of his hands? Y'all remember what he does? He rolls him over. It tears me up every time. And I don't know what y'all think, but I remember the first time I saw that movie, and I remember in my soul just screaming out, stop! Just stop! Stop! And tears just rolling down my face. Stop! Because I realized he was taking this beating for me. I can't imagine, as John is watching all this unfold, and Scripture tells us every time one of them is broken, he is summoned to come back. That means he has stepped away. I can't imagine that John's just like, hey, listen, I just saw the first two seals pop. Just stop. That's enough. Understand tonight, what we're seeing is God's vengeance unfolding on this earth for unredemptive man. God tried. He is still trying today for beckoning, pleading man to come to accept his free gift in Christ. But understand this, if they will not, vengeance is not going to be easy. It's not going to be a slap on the wrist. It's not going to be, oh, well, you know, we'll give you another shot. No, it's not. Once this takes place, it's all over and done with. There's not going to be begging. You can beg and plead all you want, but it's not going to do any good. It's a sad time. So I can imagine John's like, stop. 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 But the rider wouldn't stop. The rider of the black horse carried with him a set of scales. Paige Patterson says this. Such a scale could be found in the agora of the city marketplace. All Roman and Near Eastern cities use such a scale for precise, exact, to the margin measurement of weighted sales. So what this writer had in his hand could be used by the readers of that time, could be understood by the readers of that time. But the extent, the exact extent of the use had to be explained to John. Even John didn't understand exactly what was taking place. Verse 6 tells us that John heard something that sounded like the voice, coming from around the four living creatures, say to him or explain to him what was going on with the rider carrying the scales. And this is what he said: a quart of wheat for a denarius, or 3 quarts of barley for a denarius. A denarius was a day's wage. One day's wage. Just one. One day's wage. So what is being said here is that on this day, a person can buy a quart of wheat or 3 quarts of barley for one day's pay. Now my feelings got hurt when milk got over $4 a gallon. But a day's wage for wheat, for a quart of wheat, one day's wage for 3 quarts of barley. What's the difference there? Wheat was a richer man's, what a richer man would buy. Barley is what the poorer man would buy. Is that expensive? Do we understand the price? Let's break it down a little more. What does this mean to us today? Because that's what we want to know, right? What does this mean to us today? On a national average, the average person in America, makes $45,453.16 a year. Now, let me just stop here. Most school teachers don't make that, and they ought to. Thank you. That's $874.09 a week before taxes. Okay? And $124.87 a day. This means that on the day that the black horse rider steps foot on the earth, it will cost you, if you were around here that day, $124.87 for a quart of wheat or 3 quarts of barley. For a quart of wheat, $184. What can you do with a quart of wheat? A quart of wheat. Now, understand here, we're not talking flour. We're talking grains. So, if you take the grains, you can roast a quart of grains. Now, Mr. White, is that going to fill you up? Hey, Kenny, is that going to fill you up? Kenny started shaking his head no before I even got the any out. He heard Keith and he said, mm-mm. $184 for the grain. So what that means is if you're just lucky enough and you want some bread, it's going to make a handful of bread. How many of you women have made a loaf of bread before? How many cups of flour does it take to make a loaf of bread? Miss Gracie's holding up two. And that's not a real big loaf either, is it? Do y'all understand the severity there? That's it. $184. Well, hold on a second. Listen, that is for one day. Youth, let me ask y'all a question. In the morning, about 8 o'clock, 8:30, what time is it? It's breakfast time. Grits, eggs, toast, butter, jelly, orange juice. Don't forget the chocolate milk. Right? Around 12 o'clock, what cereal? Ugh. No oatmeal either. Around 12 o'clock, what time is it? Lunchtime, right? Caleb, listen, now, son, you better be saved. You're going to be in trouble. Tony, am I lying? Lunchtime, I mean, you Subway, sandwich, hamburger, you know, fries, something quick, right? Just something. What time, you know, for me, Amy tells me I'm an old man. Around 4:30, I'm ready to eat supper. Really? I could eat supper at 4:30 every day, and I'm starting to condition my wife. Thank you, Jesus. Woo! And I'm done. But for y'all, the normal people, about 7 o'clock, what time is it? Dinner time. Well, what do y'all do in between breakfast, lunch, and dinner sometimes? Snack. Now, you think with me here for a second. This was the average for one person's wage, you know, one quart of barley or three quarts, one quart of wheat or three quarts of barley, the seeds. If I'm working hard, that's going to feed me. Somebody in my family is going to die. One meal. Caleb, you going to make it on one meal, son? Are you starting to understand the severity here? Well, it's not going to be that bad. We'll have something to eat. Yeah, it's going to be that bad. Strangely, though, the rider is not given authority to affect the supply of the oil and the wine. Did y'all see that? The olive and the oil, olive oil and the wine isn't going to be affected. Scholars believe that the wheat and the barley will be affected because it is the common man who uses the most of this staple for his survival. Those who are rich will have their luxuries for a little bit longer. Well, why? Why will they be able to have luxuries for a little bit longer? Well, the Antichrist is going to use them to complete his control of the economy. He's going to keep them around just a little bit longer. Well, why in the world would God allow this to take place? God's warned you. God has told you what's going to take place. You don't have to go through this. If you go through this, you're going to suffer. And please understand, when you hear the trumpet sound, and I believe every person on earth is going to hear the trumpet sound, just some of us are going to rise and others are going to stay around. When you hear the trumpet sound, listen, if you're still here 30 seconds after that trumpet sound, the first thing you better do is pray, God, please, I'm sorry, I realized I was wrong, I didn't accept you. You better beg and plead right then. It's not going to do you any good if you've heard the gospel. We might as well anyway. The second thing you better do is when you get up off your knees and realize what you have lost, you better find some food and you better start stockpiling. And you listen, the government might have taken our guns away by then, but you better find one. Brother Kyle, you're crazy. You're an extremist. No, I'm not. I'm a realist. There's no way in our minds that we can conceive the severity of what is going to take place. You know, I hope John didn't see things and kind of lighten the load a little bit. Try not to scare us too much because he wanted people to read it. I wouldn't think that he would because it's bad enough at face value, isn't it? can we see this seal coming? Can we see this particular seal coming? I want us to see how we're already being conditioned and how we've already been conditioned to accept this as normal. Tana, let me ask you a few questions. How many of you in this congregation grew up canning food? You used to can food, right? Raise your hands. Leave your hands up. Look around. How many of you still can food? Raise your hands. You still can food. Now look, it's dropped. Not quite as many. Y'all, one of the nastiest things I've ever heard in my life, a guy I used to work with, he used to be my iron pourers. He was my relief man. They used to can sausage. Any of y'all in here ever can sausage? They put it in a jar, a sterilized jar. They'd put the sausage after it was made inside the jar, and then they would put oil around it and seal it up. And it would last about 2-3 years, right? I'd eat it if I'd have to, y'all, I'm telling you. But I can't imagine. I love sausage. I can't imagine, Brother Frank, what sausage would smell like after it's been in a jar for 2-3 years. Or does it? Well, that's good. Let me ask you a couple more questions. How many of you could not can food right now if your life depended on it? Now look, I'm not talking about freezing, because that's the way I freeze my, you know, vegetables from the garden. I freeze mine. That's not canning. Because listen, something happens. Youth, y'all paying attention? If you unplug the freezer, or the freezer does not have electricity, it doesn't run. Well, we're in America. That ain't ever going to happen. Oh, really? You're talking about catastrophic devastation taking place, and you think that you're going to have electricity? You're delusional. You might have electricity for a short period of time, but it ain't going to last, I promise you. And if you think that a bowl of wheat and 3 bowls of barley cost $187, how much do you think electricity's going to cost? If you can get it. Well, I'll be smart, Brother Kyle. I'll have a generator. How much do you think gas is going to cost? Well, I'll get me a solar panel. you keep your delusional mindset. Why don't you just get ready and accept Jesus today? That'll solve all the world's problems, all your problems. Let me ask you a few more questions to help you to understand how we're conditioned to accept this as normal. Y'all ready? How many of y'all, when y'all were kids, had gardens? Look around. Look at all of you. Angie, you didn't have a garden? Okay, well, I'm asking a question. Y'all need to answer. Raise your hand. How many of y'all had gardens? Raise your hands. Look at that, Angie. Raise your hand. Look at there. Just about everybody. How many of y'all can supply your own supply of meat through hunting, fishing, or trapping? Raise your hand. Now look, Miss Gracie, I just don't see, I mean, fishing, yeah, but I don't see you hunting and trapping, ma'am. Okay, you can still do it? Okay, you can, if you had to, you could, right? Can y'all see Miss Gracie, and can y'all see her and just all camoed out, sitting up in that tree with a rifle in her hand, with a grunt call, looking around. Did y'all hear that? She killed her first deer. Killed her first deer. I've heard all those fish stories. They start off like this right here, like here. Right here. Garrett starts off right here, and it's like this right here. Amen. Amen. I used to hunt too. Now, think with me here for a second. All right, Miss Gracie, settle down. Now, we used to have a game warden in our congregation. Now he works for the sheriff's department. Now, how many of y'all old-timers, y'all remember there was a time where if you wanted to go fishing, you didn't have to have a license. Y'all remember that? Now, hey, listen, if you go fishing, you better have a license, because if you get caught fishing and you got a fish in your, hey, listen, you in trouble. I told my Wednesday night class this years ago. I had a guy pull up beside me when I was crappy fishing. He said, look, he said, I just set in up there at the boat landing. The game warden's right behind me. He said, you have your license? I said, sir. I said, ain't none of your business. But yes, sir, I have my license. No, I didn't say that. I said, yeah, I have my license. I said, did he check yours? He said, yeah. He said, I made a mistake a couple weeks ago. He pulled up beside me, and we were having a conversation. He said, you catching anything? And he said, yeah, I've caught a few small ones. He said, how small are they? It's absurd to me, church. Listen, we live next to the Atlantic Ocean. I'm one of those people, if there's not a whole lot, they call me Paw at the house, because I'll sit there and I'll watch nature shows. And I'll watch Turner Classic Movies, because there's not nearly as much nakedness and cussing on those, really. It's good, wholesome stuff. Y'all watch Turner Classic Movies all the time, don't you? They don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. But listen, back in those days, you didn't have to have a fishing license. You really didn't. I don't know where in the world. Y'all messed me up. Where was I going on that point? Okay, listen. If you nowadays go out and you go out to fishing, they'll lock you up. My uncle was fishing one night, all night catfishing, and they came up and they said, oh yeah, let me see your license. He said, well, I live in North Carolina. He shouldn't have told them that. Mr. Janelle, he should have just kept his mouth shut. He should have just said, I don't have my license. Because if you're fishing out of state and you don't have a license, y'all know how it is to drive in South Carolina with a Georgia plate, right? Speeding. Well, they won't pull you over quicker, will they? But he said, you don't have a license and you're from out of state. He said, yes, sir. He says, well, come on, jump in the boat. He said, the fine is $120. And this was back in the 80s. $120. My uncle didn't have two pennies to rub together. That's why he was fishing. He said, well, I don't have $120. He said, well, he said, jump on in. He said, where are we going? He said, I'm taking you to jail. For fishing! You don't think that we're not being conditioned for the time that we're talking about tonight? How many of y'all had a garden this year? I was getting ready to say, how many times do you have your hand around that hoe? Let's check one more time. How many of y'all, when you were growing up, had a garden? Raise your hand. All right, put your hands down. How many of y'all had a garden this year? Let me ask this. How many of y'all can right now, ladies, now this affects you, how many of y'all can cook with raw ingredients? So if you wanted to make a cake, you wouldn't need Betty Crocker. Amen, Miss Desi. Thank you. I'm going to give you a kiss on the cheek after this is over. How many of y'all could make a casserole without looking at the recipe? That's good. And you better write that cobbler recipe down, because these youngins up front are going to need it. The truth is, church, listen to me. The truth is, we have gone from producing much of our own food in this country to a can-fed nation. We are a can-fed nation. Now, James, let me ask you a question. Y'all think and answer this question yourself. When the rapture takes place, people start panicking. What's going to happen to the food supply? What's going to happen to the grocery stores? It's going to be Ferguson all day, every day. Listen, it's going to get gone quick, very quick. Then what you going to do? You're going to die. That's what you're going to do. You're going to die. Brother Kyle, you've blown this way. I read that through. I didn't see all that. Church, if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior, you're going to die. The body has to have food. Try tomorrow. Let's fast tomorrow. Just that thought, me saying, let's all fast tomorrow. Some of y'all are like, no, I don't want to do that. You know why? Because you like to eat. And you think that a bowl full of wheat or three bowls of barley is going to keep you alive for very long? Listen, at $187 a bowl, you're not going to be able to keep it going on for too long. How many employers, Gary, do you think are going to employ you if all you had was one bowl of food a day? How long do you think you can do that? And not to mention, hold on a second, Brother Kyle. I work Monday through Friday. We're Americans. We only had to work 8 hours a day, 40 hours a week. Got to have Saturday and Sunday off. What you going to eat Saturday and Sunday? Because this only gives you enough for one day. What are you going to do? You're going to die. You're going to starve to death. And this doesn't talk about your family. Because when the rapture takes place, you're going to have to provide for yourself. But if you didn't take your wife and children to church and they knew nothing about Jesus and they've already reached the age of accountability, which for a male is 12 to 13 and for a female it's 14 to 15, if they hadn't accepted Christ as their personal Savior, listen, men, it's your fault. You're the spiritual leader of the house. You didn't take care of them, and now you've got to feed yourself and them on this for one day. You've led yourself to destruction and your family. Nice going there, man. Brother Kyle, you're crazy. No, I'm not. I'm a realist. I believe the Bible from cover to cover. I believe the maps. I believe the table of contents. I believe that we're in trouble. I believe that we're being groomed. I believe that we're being conditioned to accept this when it happens. And I believe that we as a Christian nation, we as Christians, are being just as groomed. Just as we're being just as consumed as the lost world is. And can I tell you how? One person, since I started preaching this, one person I've seen on Facebook sounding the alarm. One person. So basically, we're seeing these atrocities take place in our nation. And what we're saying is, it's not going to affect me. I don't care. Really? Really? Truth is that those who are left are going to have a hard time staying alive. And if they have food, someone is going to be willing to die to take it from them. Do you want to be here? Do you really want to be here? You don't have to be. Be ready and sound the alarm that others will be ready. No one has to suffer through this. All you have to do is accept Jesus now. Church, listen. The truth is, Jesus doesn't want anybody to suffer through this. Don't have to. That's the absolute God's honest truth. God doesn't want anybody to suffer through this. But here's the second truth. If you're not gone when it starts, you're going to, and there's nothing going to stop it. Nothing's going to stop it. No begging, no pleading, no stealing. You know, one of the worst things that could happen to the nation that we live in, you know what it is? Where's Wayne? Where's Wayne Beasley? Is he Wayne? Hey, Wayne. You know one of the worst things that's going, the Walking Dead? You know why? Because people have it in their mindset. They've already got their wheels turning. If that were to happen, hey, listen, this is what I'd do. I'd get me a big four-wheel drive. I'd find me a samurai sword. I'd get me a bow and arrow. And I'd get me a 12-gauge pump. I'd have me a semi-automatic. And they're starting, you know, there's people. I'd dig me a hole and a bar. Listen, none of that's going to save you. None of it. There's only one thing that's going to save you. Brother Kyle, tell me. I want to know. What there's only one thing that's going to save you. What is it, Brother Kyle? Accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior right now. That's the only thing that's going to save you. Nothing else is going to save you. Brother Kyle, you just don't know. You just don't know how. I mean, I'm a manly man. That's another way we're conditioning, being conditioned in this world. What did old Hank Williams Jr. used to sing? Got me a rifle and a four-wheel drive, because a country boy can. Not this you can't. And church, listen to me. How many seals are there? How many have we popped? How many more do we have to go through? How many of you want to stick around for the first three? Let's pray. Father, we love you and we praise you. We thank you for your word of warning. God, let it sink into our hearts and our minds that on a daily basis when we see things taking place in this world and we see people posting things in this world on Facebook or whatever, Lord, we can take the opportunity and look at them and say, yes, it's bad. Yes, it's terrible, but it's nothing compared to what's coming. And we can point to these scriptures tonight and show them, testify to them of the reality of what's going to take place. God, help us to be prepared, but help us to prepare others. That's what you created us to do, to be a lighthouse, a warning sign to all the world to see. Lord, help us to be about your business. In Jesus' name I do pray. With all heads bowed and all eyes closed, do you need to come tonight?